It's funny, when somebody asks me to be on a board, which I get asked that periodically, I think my heart starts beating fast and my breathing gets heavy, my palms get sweaty. I'm just not that kind of guy. But nevertheless, you know, when I had my practice, I was very involved in the community, and I did a lot of it through the local schools, which, of course, you know,
yep.
you get to be, you know, that's where the parents are and the kids are and the administrators and the faculty. And I was, you know, very well known in that community. Or maybe, you know, just think about the charitable organizations in your community. Well, who runs those charities? Who's on the boards? It's the wealthy, the influential, the people that know everybody, that have all the contacts. I mean, you're so right. It almost like cuts through. If you had to go door to door and shake hands with everyone in the community, which obviously you don't have time to, it cuts through all that junk and really puts you in touch.
It really does. So I certainly would encourage anybody listening to this, if you're not involved in your community, you certainly need to get involved, and you need to do it on steroids.
Yeah, it's funny. Some advice that I give in our seminars from time to time is that your goal should be to be known as the dentist of your community. Like, you know, fill in whatever the name of your community is. Garden Grove. I'm just making up, you know, a suburb and a city. You want to be the dentist of Garden Grove. And it seems like in all communities, obviously a city the size of Baltimore or Providence, you're not going to be the dentist of that city, most likely. But you can be known as the dentist of your community, your subdivision, or whatever it is. There's always one dentist who is. It's got to be you.
And why shouldn't it be you?
Exactly.
You know, I mean, it's like money in the gutter. You know, you just got to lean down and pick it up. You know, it's just, to me, so obvious that these are things that we can do. But these are not things that dentists get trained on in school. I mean, this is trying to be able to grow a business and to be able to take the necessary steps, because nothing stays the same, and you've got to be able to change, and you've got to be able to go with the flow.
So true. All right, well, let's move into the third category, probably the scariest or maybe even most difficult category, and that is the new grad, the doctor that's just been around for a couple of years, and they're just making so many decisions now that will have a huge impact on the next decades, all the way through their retirement.
Well, yeah, I mean, these new graduates, or doctors who've been out in the real world for, say, maybe 2 to 5 years, hopefully they've now have had some work experience, maybe even in corporate dentistry, or as an associate in a private practice. And at this point, they have a much better idea of what they like and what they don't like. You've heard it said before you know what you like, you have to know what you don't like. So as a young dentist, probably, unequivocally, the most important decision you're ever going to make is your choice of location. Understanding the demographics of where you want to work. That decision, where you want to work, could be, most likely will be, the biggest decision and the most important decision of your personal and professional life. You have invested huge dollars in the cost of your education, staggering amounts, and you know what the cost of acquiring or starting a practice is going to be. So my advice is, please, don't limit your choice by making a comfortable decision, you know, to move to somewhere familiar or where you grew up or whatever. Mike Abernathy, you know him.
Sure.
And along with his partner, Max Gotcher, they run an outfit called Summit Practice Solutions in Texas. I get their blog post, and they recently authored a great post about the importance of demographics and patient-dentist ratios. I think it's a must-read for this group of young dentists, and I think that they obviously could easily find it online. And it's really, really so enlightening as to, you know, what the ratio is. And, you know, if you've got whatever, 1 to 2,000, one dentist to 2,000 patients, and to say that's the ideal, but they made the point, well, yeah, but if you don't take insurance, you know, and 2,000 of those people have insurance, so now it's down to, you know, 1 to 1,000. And, you know, if you're only open, you know, 9 to 3, 4 days a week, now, you know what I'm saying? So the demographics are of where you're going to set up are incredibly important. And you're young, you know, you're just starting out. So these are things that you've really got to think about.
When you started talking about this, I wasn't sure if you were talking about, when you said where you decide to locate is so important, if you were talking about from a dental practice standpoint or a personal standpoint. You know what I mean?
Well, I think one follows the other. If you say, all right, look, I want to live in, you know, in Baltimore, you know, because that's where I grew up, and I'm going to start a practice in Baltimore, or I'm going to buy a practice in Baltimore, it may turn out that the demographics are loaded against you, you know, and even though your uncle practiced there or your cousin practiced there or whatever, it may not be the best place for you to do it because of these demographics. So if, in fact, you have the opportunity to be able to say, look, the world is my oyster. Where am I going to go? Where is it going to be? Where am I going to set myself up to be the most successful? You've got to be able to take a look at some of that hard data.
For sure. So if you're saying I've lived in Ohio, grew up in Ohio, I've lived here the last 25 years, I'm sick of the snow, I want to move to South Florida, well, that sounds great, but then you also have to look at the dental demographics of South Florida, where there's
right,
a dentist every three inches.
Corner, you know,
right.
So, again, if you're retiring in 5 years, this is not an issue. If you've already been in practice in a place where you're established and whatever, and certainly you can grow and improve it, maybe you change location within your town, you know, in order to be able to create the kind of facility that you need. But we're talking about people who are just embarking on a career, and it might be very, very important to, you know, be careful as to where you buy a practice and to make sure that things are great. I mean, I'll give you one quick example. I have a new client that I've been working with probably for about 5 or 6 months, and he is going to be opening a practice in Long Island City, which is up near Queens in Manhattan, okay?
Sure. I know Long Island City.
Right. And he's been very, very smart about this. And you do the demographics. There are, on Long Island City, 3 dentists, and there's about 60,000 people that live there. You know, they commute, they go here, there. I mean, that seems like a pretty darn good way to know that you're going to be successful. I mean, there's just not enough dentists there. And so that's what I'm saying. That's an example of trying to be able to try to pick the place, and, you know, and he doesn't live there, but he will be living there in or close near there, and he's made that conscious decision, did a lot of thoughtful investigation as to where would be a place to put his startup practice. So that's why I say I think it's important for them to be able to do it. Now, these new dentists, you know, they have their entire professional life ahead of them, so they need to always have sort of a 5-year plan for both their personal and professional goals, you know, as they move forward. And it would be great for them if they could find a successful doctor in their area, or a mentor or a coach who's going to be able to guide you along the road. For sure, you want to be pursuing membership in a great study club or two, and you want to try to identify the kind of dentistry that you'd like to do and passionately pursue it. I mean, you're young. You're at the point where you can be able to do it. I also feel, though, that for these young people, they have to realize dentistry is a means to an end, in my opinion. You can make a great living, but you need to take time to smell the roses. You can't be working 7 days a week. You know, your family's only young ones. You're only young ones. I see too many people who just, you know, get so involved in the dentistry that they forget about the rest of their life. And all of a sudden, their kids are grown, and it's in like, where did they go? Look at Rich. It's easy for you and me to see this now because we've sort of lived through it. And we're always saying, you know, if I only knew then what I know now, I could be dangerous.
So true.
We've sort of reached that a little bit of a different point in our lives.